Welcome to our new podcast series, Imagine Sundance, designed to help the discerning traveler select the resort that renews and rejuvenates. Sundance Mountain Resort, located in Utah's Wasatch Range of the Rocky Mountains, is a place, an idea, celebrating and enriching the human experience. As creator and founder Robert Redford once put it, quote, "To us, Sundance is and always will be a dream. What you see, smell, taste, and feel here is a dream being carefully nurtured. It is an area whose pledge is to people. What we offer in the form of art and culture, spirit and service is homegrown and available to all." Close quote. Welcome Chad Linebaugh, General Manager of Sundance and host of the podcast series Imagine Sundance.
Welcome, listeners, to this inaugural edition of Imagine Sundance, our new podcast series created for travelers like you. Starting today and over the months ahead, we hope to be able to take you through the pine forests, along the rushing creeks, and into our award-winning lodging and restaurants to introduce you to America's unique Sundance Mountain Resort, if you've never visited, or to rekindle a memory and invite you back if you've been away too long. Located in the rugged Rocky Mountains of Utah, in the Wasatch Mountain Range, at the base of Mount Timpanogos, Sundance Mountain Resort was established by Robert Redford in 1969. It was his love of this place and the connection with nature that prompted him to create a most unique resort that has evolved into a masterpiece unparalleled in the travel world. It is my intention to personally guide you in the podcasts ahead to help you better understand each feature of the resort that has without fanfare become one of Mr. Redford's greatest accomplishments. I hope you will join me for each of the podcasts, that you'll share them with your traveling friends, and that you'll consider spending time here where the four seasons come alive. For our first Imagine Sundance podcast, I am thrilled to be riding our triple chairlift called Arrowhead with Craig Glutke, the director of Ski Patrol at Sundance Mountain Resort. Utah's Wasatch Mountains are known for their abundance of light powder snow and easy access to the steeps. Within the ski area, ski patrollers must monitor slope conditions, hazards, and weather. The ski patrol needs to be consistently aware of their surroundings and make safe decisions for themselves and others. Here's Craig now. Hey, Craig, let's grab this next chair.
Great. How you doing, Chad?
Doing well. It looks like a great day to ski.
Yeah, it does. Are you on? Do you need me to lower this bar?
I think I've got it. Thank
okay.
you. I've been on this chair a few times.
Okay, sounds good.
I am really excited for our listeners to hear from you today, Craig, because I think for most kids, when they grew up skiing, they think, I want to be a ski patrolman someday. And I think it's going to be fun for them to hear kind of a behind-the-scenes look, because you guys, you and your team are the unseen heroes of this mountain. So let's start off, and I'd love for you just to describe a day in the life of a ski patrol team member.
Yeah, I don't know how unseen we are with these uniforms that we wear, kind of like the glowing beacons, you know, the silent professionals, but not so silent. Most people recognize our uniform from halfway across the mountain, but yeah, it is pretty exciting, and we do get a lot of interaction with kids out on the resort. You know, we're running our Ski Patrol Academy here in a couple weeks, which is in hopes of finding future patrollers, mm-hmm. but it generates a lot of interest from people coming to the resort. And, you know, the typical day in a life kind of depends on what the weather's doing, quite honestly. Right. You know, bluebird day like we've got right now, you know, we're more in kind of a public service and education and mountain aesthetics role where we're getting up here 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. We're always the first ones up the hill to make sure, you know, everything set well overnight. And then we do opening rounds, checking on the mountain, making sure all the signs are in place. And then on a day like today, you know, with not a lot of weather going on, we're just out there kind of interacting with the public. And if someone, you know, happens to fall down and break themselves, we're there to help them out and help get them off the mountain with whatever help they need. But then, you know, the flip side of that is when it is snowing and blowing and the storm is raging up on the mountain, we kind of shift roles a little bit into mm-hmm. that avalanche mitigation role sure. that we play. And those are pretty intense days. You know, those days start at 3:30 in the morning, and there's weather analysis going on, and then there's explosives assembly going on. And when everything is rolling smoothly, then the team is out the door and up on the mountain at 6 o'clock in the morning in hopes of having a good portion, if not all, of the resort open by 9, you know, and most of the time we can get that done.
One of the things you mentioned that you're used to is the idea that you're the first one on the mountain every day. For a lot of our guests, that's a dream come true.
Sure.
Maybe you could describe for us, because you've done this thousands of times now, where you're on that chairlift, whether it's at 4 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., describe for our listeners what's that like when you're up on that mountain early in the morning and there's no one else around.
It's quite honestly one of the best parts of our job. That early morning commute, you know, we joke quite often as we're riding up that chairlift. Our chairlifts aren't the fastest chairlifts on the planet, you know. It's part of our, we kind of count it as one of our assets,
right,
enjoying the scenery here. But our morning commute is one of our best times of the day. We get to see the sunrise, you know, and as the sunrise is coming up over in the east, Timpanogos is just bathed in that pinkish, you know, alpine glow you've seen so many times. And it's one of our favorite times. We're the first ones on the mountain in the morning, and we're the last ones at night, and so we get to see the sunrise and the sunset, and most of the guys count that as one of their best parts of the day.
I would agree. And you know, Craig, you've been kind enough to invite me for those 3:30 a.m. control mornings, and I've yet to accept your invitation.
Yeah, it's still an open invite.
One of these days, I'll make it up with you at that time.
Should I hold my breath?
Yes. Craig, what qualifies a candidate to be a member of the Ski Patrol team?
Oh, that's a good question. It's funny you say chosen, you know, because we do get quite a few people apply to be Ski Patrollers up here, men and women both. The hard criteria is you have to be age 21. And you have to have a Utah State EMTB certification. That's the first aid certification that's required. And then we do a ton of in-house training once you come with those prerequisites. You know, first aid and CPR and avalanche control and guest service-related training topics. But it is quite a, you know, choosing process. And we've learned throughout the years that a lot of people can come with those prerequisites, but might not be a fit into our culture here at Sundance. And I know we talk about that a lot internally with trainings and stuff.
Sure.
But the guys out on the hill know it more than even I do. Mm-hmm. If someone is going to be a cultural fit into our group and into our mountain, that's what we're looking for.
Absolutely. Now, I just got to tease you a little bit. You say the guys, but it's not just guys on your team.
It's not just guys.
When you
guys
say the guys, that includes the very talented ladies as well,
it does,
doesn't it?
Absolutely. And dogs, too. We've got men, women, and dogs on our team.
Well, let's talk about the dogs. I mean, I know for a lot of our guests, that's one of their favorite things. I mean, they like you, people, but they seem to like the dogs even more. And we have a great avalanche dog program. Maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about the purpose of that program and how it works.
Sure. Right now we've got 4 avalanche rescue dogs on our team. That's kind of what we typically like to have, but when a dog retires, it takes us a couple years to get a puppy, you know, up and going. But they are definitely our PR tool. You know, people like the dogs, our meet and greets, they like to come pet the dogs. And we even actually have a few volunteers that help us out with the training sessions where we actually bury people in a snow cave and then have the dogs come and find them as part of their training. But we start our puppies when they're 6 or 8 weeks old, and it takes them a solid 2 years before they're trained to a level where they can test. And then once they test and certify, you know, then they're able to respond to avalanche rescue call-outs anywhere in the state. We're part of an organization called Wasatch Backcountry Rescue, WBR. People are familiar with that. And it's a fantastic organization. It really is.
So, Craig, I'm. There's a lot of breeds of dogs out there, and I'm sure these aren't your average poodles that we're using. Tell us, what's the breed of dog that works best as an avalanche dog?
No offense to the poodle owners that are going to be coming to Sundance. But, yeah, certainly there are certain breeds of dogs that, you know, respond to this game. And that's all. The dogs are just playing a game. They're just playing a game of mm-hmm. hide and seek, you know, quite honestly. And Labrador Retrievers certainly play that game really well, just their characteristics and their personality traits. So we've had a lot of labs. Right now we've got a Golden on our team and we've got an English Shepherd on our team. So it's not that any dog can't play that game, but there's some that play it, you know, more successfully and better than others.
I remember a few years ago, we had the talented actress Glenn Close here as a guest, and she heard about this program, and didn't she actually volunteer to be buried,
yeah,
to be found
did.
By the dogs?
She
Tell
had
us about that.
A great time, too. I can't remember what she's got a dog interests website and mm-hmm. movement of some sort, a charity of some sort. And so when she was here at the resort, I think she coincidentally saw one of our dogs, you know, out on the slopes or something, and she expressed interest. And We actually got her to volunteer and go into a snow cave for us, and she was buried as part of our training exercise. And it worked out really well, because for a period of time afterward, part of her proceeds through her charity was donated to the dogs. All our dog program is a volunteer program. These dog handlers, it's their own dog that they donate time and hundreds of hours of time and money towards training their dog to this purpose.
That's great.
And so it was pretty exciting to have Glenn Close involved in that.
Craig, I know a lot of our guests would love to support this dog program. And so how could they? What's the name of the program, and how would a guest learn more about it and even support it?
You know, the easiest way, if they're off-site, is to go to our website and navigate through to the mountain operations
part. And that
would
be the Sundance Resort website?
Yeah, sundanceresort.com. And then navigate to the mountain operations page. And there's actually an avalanche rescue dog page that shows some photos and shows the team members and stuff.
Great.
But right now, the way we're funding this program largely is through the sales of rescue dog apparel that is sold here at the resort down at Sundance Mountain Outfitters. And all the proceeds of all that apparel goes straight to the training of the dogs. And, you know, these dogs, once they get to a certain level, then they're qualified to be eligible to go to off-site training. So we've sent teams to Switzerland. We've sent teams to Canada. And you can imagine how much costs are incurred during those off-site trainings. And that's all funded by guests buying T-shirts and hats and sweatshirts that support the dog program.
Oh, that's really great. So these dogs are well-traveled. They've maybe seen more of the world than I have.
Possibly.
Craig, your job and your team's job is to see that our slopes are skied and enjoyed in the safest way possible. You know, you've been involved and you've witnessed a lot here over the years. What's the greatest piece of advice you could give to our skiers and snowboarders on what you've seen over the years for them to be safe?
You know, it's kind of an elusive question. You know, people see that white cross, you know, on our red coat, and they presume that we're out there, you know, making sure everybody's safe all the time. And that's really kind of a little bit of a misconception, because that's really upon the user of the ski hill. Our guests that are coming to Sundance, it's their responsibility to make good decisions. And I kind of see our job as helping them make those decisions, you know. And we largely do that by educating them and offering PR, whether it's through signage or whether it's through one-on-one interaction out on the slopes or whether it's just putting a sign up, you know, that says, hey, be careful here, or, you know, we put ropes up to direct traffic, you know. So all of these are an attempt to help the guest make the decision that they need to stay safe. We can't really force people to be safe. It's their decision, and we're just there to help them make those decisions. And if they make the wrong one and fall down and get broken, then we'll be there to help them out, you know.
As a father who also has kids who ski on this mountain, I know I appreciate that. You know, my kids have they've had their fair share of
bumps and bruises
on this mountain as well.
Yeah.
And it's been interesting as a father, stepping out of my role as a general manager, to see what a great job your team does and the care that you put into that important role. So,
yeah.
You know, I really thank you for that. You know, along those lines, I'm wondering, you know, my sense is that you and your team, you love this job because you love the mountain, but it's also because you love to help people. And I'd love to hear more about how you feel like your life or the lives of your patrollers has been impacted by helping these guests on the mountain.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think a lot of times our services as emergency response personnel, you know, when someone does get hurt, you know, we come in on a scene and we assess their needs and we help them get to further care if that's required. And quite often there's a feeling of anonymity to that interaction.
Sure.
You know, we're the face behind the red cross, but that white cross is all that's really seen by that hurt patient.
Right.
And that's okay. Most of the patrollers, you know, they're in this business because of the mountains and because of the beauty and because of the lifestyle, but they are all personalities that like helping people. And so those rare opportunities where we get to see a guest come back up on the hill after healing up,
sure,
or send a card or send acknowledgement of how much that interaction meant to them, man, that's worth so much to the guys. You know, they really appreciate it. To be able to see someone return to the sport that we all love,
right,
is a lot of reward, a huge reward for us.
Well, there's so much that your team does right, and I think one of those things is you guys really put the human touch on it. You know, you'd mentioned the cards. I know you actually send cards to a guest who's been injured on the mountain to follow up and see how they're doing. Is that right?
Yeah, quite often. We're curious, you know. We're not really diagnosing what happened on the hill. We don't have x-ray machines on the hill and stuff like that. So we're just simply getting them off the mountain and down to further care. Mm-hmm. And that's quite often the last time we hear or see that patient.
Right.
And so to hear back from them or to just know that they're doing okay, we'll quite often send a get well soon card out to them. And many respond to that and say, hey, just let you know, got my cast off. I'm headed back up skiing next week. That means a lot to us.
My last question kind of goes back to my first question, which is, I think for many of our listeners, they think a dream job is to be a ski patrol member. So I'd love for you to just share your best day, your best moment as a member of the Sundance Ski Patrol. And you've been with Sundance for over 20 years, is that right?
Yeah, I have.
So you've had a lot
of... Weird to say that out loud.
You've had a lot of days on that mountain, and I would love for our listeners to hear, what was your best day, your best moment?
You know, the best part about this job, quite honestly, is the camaraderie and the teamwork.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to overly dramatize it, but there are several instances throughout each ski season where we really are out in conditions where, you know, we have each other's backs and the lives of your teammates really are in your hands and vice versa. And so those days where that teamwork and that camaraderie just comes into sync is invaluable, and it's really, really meaningful to be a part of that. A quick example comes to mind. Several years ago, we had a significant storm cycle here that was laying down feet and feet of snow, and we were barely keeping up with it. You know, we were having to close portions of the mountain down because we couldn't keep up with the snow. And we were right at the end of that pulse. And we knew we had two teams left out on the mountain that were trying to make their way to an exit area. And pretty soon it came across the radio that they were pinned down with avalanches kind of being triggered all around them.
Wow.
And to watch the team come together, you know, and work seamlessly to get those guys back to an area where we could get them off the mountain was a pretty unique experience to be part of. And it was an eye-opening experience for me to realize what type of group I was part of, you know, and the guys, then girls, guys and ladies that I was working with, we really do have each other's backs, and to be a part of that culture is pretty special.
Well, I hope our listeners understand that, because I've witnessed that firsthand. I mean, the time I spend with your team, you can really sense that you guys, I mean, we say team, but it really is a team, and you have each other's backs. Craig, it looks like we're almost at the top of the lift here. I think it's about time we get skiing. Well, I'm going to go ski. You probably have to go do a little work.
That was the fastest lift ride we've had all day.
I just really want to thank you, you know, for the work that you do and that your team does. You guys make this place what it is. If you prepare the mountain, you know, when something goes wrong, you're there, and we appreciate that and all the work that your team does for that. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chad. This has been fun. Have a great day.
Well, thanks a lot, Craig. We'll see you.
You've been listening to Imagine Sundance with Chad Linebaugh, General Manager of Sundance Mountain Resort. We realize that the rigors of life takes you far from the serenity of our alpine altitude. But our alpine attitude can remain with you no matter where you roam. These podcasts are designed to help you imagine Sundance, whether you are on a subway commuting in a big city, stuck in a traffic commute, looking out the window of your break room at lunch, or just thumbing through a brochure, fantasizing over your next getaway from the grind of day-to-day living. Our casual escape to rejuvenation at Sundance will soothe the soul, reset the natural pace within, and allow you to reconnect with your natural self in a way that will send you back into the world better equipped to conquer all that comes your way. We invite you to subscribe to this series and share each podcast with your family and friends. We hope that by imagining your friends here at Sundance, you will want to visit our spectacular mountain haven time and time again. Join us again next time for another discussion on the unique features of one of America's most cherished mountain resorts. For more information on skiing, lodging, dining, living life at Sundance, call toll-free 855-420-9033. Email us at resop@sundance-utah.com. Like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Sundance Resort, or join our Twitter conversations at Sundance Resort. You can pin us or follow us at www.pinterest.com/Sundance Resort. Mention this podcast by name, and you will receive a special promotional offer just for listening. Until next time, be sure to imagine Sundance. And remember, Sundance is the perfect place to create your story.